Hello and welcome. This is Charlotte Jacobs, and this is our March 13th Six Figure Secrets call for our Thrive membership. And I am so delighted you're here. I see so many wonderful names I recognize, and just delighted that you're here to get this incredible value from our amazing Susan Kirby. I'll be bringing Susan on in just a moment. Before we do, I really want to acknowledge you for being here for this particular topic, especially those of you who are signed up for a six-figure speaker coming up really soon here on April 4th. I know that you are ready to really take a big stand for yourself, to jump out, jump up, and really stand in your value and deliver incredible offers. And so particularly for being a part of the Thrive community and for showing up for this call, I just really want to thank you. All right, now a reminder that if we get to a point where we're going to be asking any questions, you can always press 1 on your telephone keypad. And if you're having any kinds of technical difficulties, if you need technical support, you can press 5 on your telephone keypad at any time during this call. All right, well, let's jump right into tonight's topic, which is how to make hot, lucrative offers from the stage by standing in your value with our $10,000 a month club member, Susan Kirby. Now, on this particular call, you're going to learn how Susan broke through her most limiting belief in order to start her dream speaking business after 30 years of speaking for other companies, how to stand in your value, getting your inner game dialed in, the number one key to having the impact you want as a speaker, the biggest mistake that has people saying no to your offers, and the 5 hot tips you need to know so people start saying yes to your offers. So this is going to be a really, really hot call. Let me tell you a little bit about Susan before I bring her onto the call. So Susan Kirby, she's an award-winning speaker, trainer, and intuitive facilitator, and she's known as the Hot Offer Coach. She's actually personally worked with a lot of our graduates of our six-figure speaker program to really help them catapult their results, and I see a real difference when I see people work with her. They just get so quickly grounded in their bodies. And she's been captivating audiences and leading seminars for over 20 years. She actually led over 350 seminars for Landmark Education to rooms of over 200 people and has impacted the quality of more than 15,000 lives. She's delivered conflict resolution on corporate stages for companies such as PayPal and StubHub, and as a trainer for Heart Virtues, Susan has appeared on stages both in the U.S. and internationally. Now, she has a unique ability to inspire emerging speakers to authentically express their message and naturally take their stage with the clarity, confidence, and effectiveness of a seasoned speaker. And her speakers report, after they work with her, "I rocked my stage my first time out, and I couldn't have done it without Susan." So, Susan, I'm so glad you're here. I've got you on a big mic now, so...
Great. Well, welcome.
Hello.
Thank you. Thank you.
And it's so funny. We were just talking yesterday because there's just a million things going on right now, and we were talking about the Thrive membership easing, and it was like all about Susan.
I know. When we were talking about, well, I was the Leverage Your Genius Top 10, and so I got to be my success story in the easing, and then I've taken on the Client Attraction Network, which is starting up launching tonight in Marin, which is so exciting. And then, of course, I'm the six-figure speaker for today. So I'm like,
there,
oh,
you are.
It's the Susan Kirby Show.
It's the Susan Kirby Show. And, I mean, and how perfect, you know, because you're one of these people who brought a lot of value, intrinsic value with you coming to our programs. And not everybody feels that they do. You know, not everybody, they might even be in a position like yours where they don't actually recognize
and
their value.
And Charlotte, I didn't feel like I did when I came either.
Yeah.
So
the
good news is you too, you and Jesse, shine your light so bright on those of us that we can't help but see our greatness. And then once we've seen it, and that's why I really want to talk about standing in your value, because once you've seen your greatness, you can't go back, and all you can do is really shine it and give it to others.
Isn't that true? And so, you know, and I think this is especially helpful for everybody here to tell us your story about, you know, how, you know, here you are, you came to, you seasoned speaker, you've been doing it for years, didn't really get your value, came to the Thrive Academy programs and, you know, joined the $10,000 a month club really quickly. And I think that that's really inspiring for a lot of people. So tell us about your story and how you broke through your most limiting belief. I understand that you had this big breakthrough, right, to start your dream speaking business.
I did. And, you know, I love my life today. And I really, as I said, thank you and Jesse for that shining your light so I can love mine. And as I was going to relook at my story, it's such an amazing life I live. I wake up and kind of get goosebumps in it. I get to work with speakers all over the world to have their messages go out clearly, concisely, and be compelling. And I just get so excited. I get educated every speaker I work with. So I'm learning. One of my speakers is an animal communicator, and my cats are much happier that I've been working with her. You know, like I just,
right.
I get all the value of all of our clients, as well as letting them hear their voice in their own unique way and getting it out there. And I just love it. I love having VIP days up here at my house overlooking the trees in Sonoma County up in the wine country. Everything in my life has been poised to have me have this moment be this brilliant. And I thank God for it. I think that I trusted my intuition and followed where I needed to be, because I tell you, it wasn't this way. When I came in, I'm one of those who, I saw the email that came out that said something to the effect of, are you a coach needing clients? I'm like, yes, I am. And I started questioning, you know, like as soon as I'm skeptical. I'm a skeptical girl. I'm a yes for almost everything, but I start out with my arms crossed and shaking my head and wondering. And I thought, well, these people seem to have what I want. And in just filling out your discovery session application, or that the application for the free scholarship, I was talking myself into working with you. And I thought, well, if they can get me to talk me into working with you, then maybe you can get me to get my clients to talk themselves into working with me. And I just had to come. So I actually called that night, because it was Friday night and the event was starting tomorrow. I called the hotel and got transferred to the event room where Carol, I think, was the poor soul who answered the phone. I'm like, you want me to come or not? She's like, come on down. I said, okay. And it was really in that first weekend that I just saw such value from everybody else, and I saw Jesse's heart and the whole of it. And I tell you, I'm a mic hog. I love being on the mic. But the only thing I said that weekend, I remember standing up and telling Jesse, I know you'll do what you say you'll do, but I don't trust that I'll do what I say, what you'll ask me to do. And he kind of looked at me funny, like, really, lady? I mean, not quite like that, but just like, and he turned to the rest of the audience, and he asked them something to the effect of, without knowing anything more about her, would you trust her and follow this woman? And like, overwhelmingly, people were like, yes. And he turned back to me, and he goes, you need to do something to raise your value of yourself. And you should, your assignment is to sit down now and just write like 10 things you are proud of having accomplished, because you need to shift your value. And that's really what started the whole thing of recognizing, if I'm not standing in my value, there's no difference I get to make. And for years, I'd been trained to give it away, because all my work with Landmark Education, as great a training as it was and as much of a difference as it made, I was a volunteer and I was leading their stuff. And so I'd been trained to be a speaker, but no way to have a business with it. Like, I didn't know how to go with that. And it was really inside of the breakthrough coaching that I did with Jesse, because I was one of those spotlight people who got to be on stage, where I really got that whole thing of giving it away for free was so holding me back. And it was right in one of those moments where I got on the stage and he had me talking about my $4,000 clients. And I'm like, yeah, right, $4,000 clients. And not long after that, I started having $3,000 clients. Uh-huh. And I was like, shoot, this is cool. So it's all about standing in your value.
And, you know, and I know that you, you know, shortly after that, I know you joined the $10,000 a month club pretty quickly. And
did.
And you know, it's just like all during these weekends when you have these breakthroughs.
It's amazing, and I have to tell you, even before I got to the breakthrough coaching session, that client attraction mastery, which we were calling at the time double your practice, when I was in that, I got to raise my hand and be a demo for when we were doing the credentials, and we were doing that, you know, the stages of heart selling. And I was like so excited that I got to say my credentials, because it was really inside of that exercise that I got to see who I really was. And we'll talk about more about that in a little bit. But it's really, I got to say who I was and in front of the room, and Jesse even turned to the people and said, did she create Lean In? And he looked around and he goes, well, you're all leaning in, so I guess you did.
Uh-huh.
And it was just great. And I got my first $200 an hour client right that day. And then I started just getting all these discovery sessions, people wanting to sign up, and then started creating clients, and it just started really working. And I was one of the top 10 of that mastery, or double your practice at time, but mastery. So yes, it's been really effective.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. And I know, and this is, I think this is really inspiring to everyone here. So I want to toot your horn for a moment, because, you know, a lot of us, we see these big speakers and we want to be like them. And I know recently that Les Brown actually approached you to partner with him.
He did. And I just have to say, when I went to an event with Les Brown, and I am so ready to be motivated. I'm a yes for so many things. And I was front row right in front of him, and he's there telling me, you got to be hungry. You got to want this. You have greatness in you. I'm like, I do, and I'm crying. And so, and yet when he went to go make his offer, I got that he's not trained in how to manage people. I mean, he caused hundreds of people to run to the back of the room, and he then was trying to tell us to buy our products online. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, we're back in the room because we want what you have now. So I got to work with him and actually making offers that would be effective for him, because he had no help in the area of motivation, just a little help in the area of speaking to sell, because he'd been trained to get paid, like from $25,000 an hour kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But he wasn't paid. He wasn't trained to sell from the front of the room. So I get to bring that expertise to him.
Awesome, awesome. Well, it's really exciting. I think it's really inspiring for everybody to hear your success stories. And I want to jump in to this idea of really standing in your value, because we know that in order to be a powerful speaker, you need to stand in your value. And you talked about helping us dial in our inner game. So share more about that.
Well, I started to talk about that when I was working with that time with Jesse in the Mastery Breakthrough Coaching. And it's really in that whole thing of what I saw was that after 10 years of training other companies and learning how to give it away, I just really didn't know how to offer it for pay. Like, it had been so undervalued in my own, for me. I knew it made a difference in the world, but I didn't get I should be paid for it. And it had been really painful watching other people be like that as well. And it's kind of that whole thing, I think we as conscious entrepreneurs think, well, it's my gift, I should just be generous and give it away. I shouldn't really charge for it. And yet, when you undercharge, you're really devaluing yourself, and that's what I was doing. And I saw that when I undercharge, I won't actually attract the people I'm meant to work with, because they question whether I'm really worth it while I'm questioning whether I'm really worth it. And what I notice is if I don't value myself, no one else can value myself. Will value me, and my offers will just fall flat. So really my breakthrough came in that standing on that stage and saying $4,000 a day. And it really came from recognizing my own credentials. So there's a combination of so many things that I've learned from you and Jesse. But the one major thing I would love to actually share with our people today on the call is a handout I put together called Bragging Rights. Do they know how to access that?
Yes. Yeah, so we can also post it on the dashboard if you're on the dashboard. But if you haven't yet, usually I ask you to go download the handouts right away. So Megan's going to post it right now on the dashboard. And you can also head on over to thriveacademyhub.com, or if you're at the thrive-academy.com site, you can click on member login. Go ahead and log in. Go to Thrive Membership tab, and then find this call with my picture and Susan's picture, and you'll see all the handouts right there. And, you know, I actually want to say something because I love that you're actually speaking to this. This funny thing, you know, when we do this thing in Mastery, in Client Attraction Mastery, where we talk about, you keep calling it credentials, but we talk about how to position yourself appropriately.
Yeah.
That, you know, so many people just don't get what they have done. I mean, there was a woman who, her name is Vinca Hart. She was like a concert, like a really well-established, famous concert pianist in Germany, and had actually helped to take down the Berlin Wall, and like years ago, you know, she's doing amazingly now, you know, very big six-figure business, doing great things. But, you know, years ago, she just didn't even know, like, as a coach, how to actually say that in a way that really had people get it. So I love that you're bringing this up, because this is such a powerful thing that everybody here really needs to learn how to do.
Yeah, and I've done talks where I call it 30 seconds to fame, and people are like, yeah, how do you get to be famous in 30 seconds? But it's really when you say, as I call it, your credentials, all of a sudden people respect you in a different way, and how to use them to position yourself and be seen in that light. And, you know, whether it's saying, oh, yeah, I worked with Les Brown, or I've done this, or, you know, any of those things that have you elevated in the view of your prospective clients. And so many of us think it's bragging and it's arrogant and it's whatever, and they don't want to know that. But you know what? They do want to know. And they want to know that you're good. And the first person who I had to inform I was good was me. And I actually saw by that comment Jesse had made back at the summit was that I was seen bigger than I felt. And it was really in looking at these questions. So if you're looking at your bragging rights handout, I say, congratulations, you're another step closer to standing in your value. Because once you start to answer these questions, and I realize not everybody has the same credentials. People don't have my credentials. But you do have your credentials. Everyone has an expertise and a training for that expertise. We each have our gifts to share, and this is just about how do you access those gifts. And I knew I was good at speaking, and I knew I should be paid for my speaking, but I didn't really get how good till I started to write down the answer to these questions. And okay, if you're looking at them, just get out your journal to go alongside it to make some notes, because I didn't leave you enough room to write, but there is about 8 questions I put together here for us. And can I read them to us, Charlotte?
Absolutely.
So the first of the questions that I started looking at was, how many clients have you worked with? Now, for some of us, for me, I went to look and see, well, how many people had I led in front of? And after 10 years of leading for Landmark Education, I started counting them up, and I was like, 15,000 people, that's pretty impressive. Now, had I been paid? No. Did I work with them? Absolutely. So you kind of look and see where these clients might not have paid you, but they might be people that you've coached along the way, or you've been in your building your practice, you've done work with your friends, or whatever it is. So if it's not an impressive number, don't worry about it, because one of these 8 will be something you start with until you get to more. But you want to be really generous with yourself about who have you worked with. And then the second question, how long have you been working in your field? And what I love is that working and studying in your field, which is really the third question, how long have you been studying and practicing in your field? So if you haven't really been working in your field as long as you'd like to say, because truth be told, I had only been a paid speaker. I'd been paid $1,000 a day for maybe 4 speaking gigs that I did for PayPal and StubHub. So I was a corporate and paid speaker, but everything else I'd done had been volunteer. But when I looked at it, I'd been studying to lead seminars since 1983, right out of college. And that's, all of a sudden it was like, whoa, I've actually been speaking in front of people and being trained to speak in front of people and leading small groups of people and making offers from the stage when you talk about everything I did with Landmark Education. I started to really impress myself when I started to look at, that's, you know, 20 years of, I've been doing this for 20, and all of a sudden I just kind of was like, yeah. And then the fourth question, who have you worked with? And up till recently, that wasn't a really impressive answer for me. But now that I've been working, I've been positioning myself in the field with these other questions, I now have some of those. I've worked with some of your six-figure speakers. Some of my VIP clients are some of your top 10. Morgana is one of my friends I met through Thrive, and she and I worked with her offers, and I've just been doing all this, and Les Brown is a name I just was like flabbergasted when I told him what I could help him with. He goes, could you get your lunch and bring it back and have lunch with me? And I so had wanted to have lunch with him. To have him ask me to do that was just so exciting. So anyway, you have who you've worked with. And the fifth question is, have you been interviewed on TV or radio? And now with the whole blog radio or various other ways of radio, you can get yourself interviewed fairly quickly and have that as a credential. Everybody's looking for people they can talk with and interview, so that's another great one. Have you worked internationally? And I've been on stages in Canada, so I got to say, yes, I have. So, again, be generous with yourself. And then the seventh question is, what are some of your clients' results? So what were they like when you started working with them? What happened for them with you? And what are they like now? That's a really great structure for how to answer what are some of your results. What was it like for them when they started working with you? What happened while they worked with you, and what are they like now? Very similar to all the great client testimonials Charla and Jesse get. And we get those same testimonials, and you get to start sharing them. You just need one. If you haven't worked with anybody yet, just get one person, and you start sharing about that. My very first $3,000 client was somebody who was in the six-figure speaker, and you'll hear more about his story, but it was such a great story of how he got 50 out of 80 people to run to the back of the room and buy his $200 program. So he ended up with a $10,000 sale in the first 12 minutes. And I can tell you I've worked that story. That was like my first story, and it's a really cool story. So it just takes one. Right. And then, again, the eighth one is your own personal journey.
Right, and for those of you in Six Figure Speaker, we'll go deeply into your own personal journey during that program. So answer these questions. Make this one of the most important exercises that you can possibly do. Really, as part of stage one, you've got to position yourself, and being able to answer these questions will really help you do that. And this will be great preparation for those of you who are coming to Six Figure Speaker.
And so I have one more speaker tip for them about this before we move on, which is, if I could tell anybody to do anything, it's to deliver your talk to the mirror. So if you were a speaker getting ready to go deliver anything, you talk to the mirror until the person in the mirror gets what you're saying. And what I would like you to do, just to get practice in that, is read these credentials into the mirror until you're impressed.
That is a powerful exercise. Yes, great homework.
Very cool. And I have to say, like, I've moved myself next to my big wall of mirrors in my closet here so I can really be with you and be present, just to know there's somebody on the other end of the line. So I'm here if I need to go ground myself, look at my own self. So I do that same practice myself.
Awesome. Well, so I love this. Yes, stand in your value, figure out, and even if you're having some gremlins about, I don't really have any credentials, sit and really think about these questions. Don't make this just a quick exercise that you do. Make it something that you marinate with and allow yourself to answer the questions overnight. Just really take your time with this, because every single one of you has some bragging rights. So I encourage you to really do that exercise. And then, you know, Susan, you have what you call the number one key to having the impact you want as a speaker. Please tell us about that.
I do. Well, the biggest shift, the number one key to actually shift how you see yourself as a speaker, and that's this one shift, and it's a shift in perspective. So how you view your audience is such a big deal. So many of us, actually, I'm really curious. If you were told that this is for the audience, I'm about to ask you to press 1, 2, 3, or 4, okay? So if you were told you were about to go speak in front of 50 people and they were ready to hear you, would you be press number 1 if you were worrying about, oh, my God, I'm not ready, or press number 2 if you'd be like, what am I going to say? I'm ready, but I don't know what to say. And press number 3 if you go, well, who's coming? I need to pay attention to who's coming because the people in the room are the most important. So those are the three stages most of us go. So I'm going to just do the three stages for right at the moment. So press 1 if you are worrying about, are you ready? Press 2 if you're worrying about your content. And press 3 if you're worrying about the people in the room.
I'm looking at the numbers right now. Thanks for voting, you guys. Appreciate it. So 1 if you're worried about not being ready, 2 if you're worried about your content, and 3 if you're concerned about who's in the room. So it looks like the numbers keep changing and going up here. But so far, about 10% of the people who have – this is 10% of the people. Not everybody has voted, but 10%.
Yeah.
Have said, I'd be worried about, not being ready. 18% have been worried about their content, and 36% are concerned about who's in the room.
Awesome. That's it's just a really good gauge of kind of where we are on the evolution of becoming a dynamic speaker. And I say that we all often will start in that, what I call the budding speaker, where it is where their focus is on themselves. And it's because you've never done it before and you might not know, and it's an appropriate response for that moment. And then there's, once you've kind of gone through that, then you get to that phase of, as what I call the emerging speaker, where they start to worry about the content, or I go, what am I going to say? But what am I going to say? And I realize even as a person who's been around a long time to speaking, I go through each of these phases when I start to approach something I'm about to go lead. So what is the content? You know, Sharla, you and I have worked on what is the content for tonight's client attraction network, because until you get the content, you know, you got to have something. But really, when you get to that part about who's in the room, then it helps you derive what's the content. So it makes sense you would notice who's in the room and what is it I want to say. But that's as far as most speaker trainings take it. And what I've added is really the fourth phase, which I call the dynamic speaker. And this is that number one key shift in your perspective is to this. And this is, okay, this is, you know, Jesse tells you to lean in. So lean into the phone because this is a really cool little tip. It's to focus on the difference that the people in your room are going to make in the world by having worked with you. So it's what I call the ripple effect. So, in fact, your focus isn't on you, it isn't on your content, and it's not on anybody in the room. It's on the difference your work is going to make in the lives of the people you're talking to, their husbands, their spouses, their employees, their children, their clients. And when you have your focus that far out in the world, it's what I call a dynamic speaker. And a dynamic is a force that impacts change.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're really being that force that is impacting change, and that's where your focus is, so many other things just drop away. Like, what do you have to say? It'll come from your heart when you speak. What about you? It's kind of a moot point. And, you know, the people are really important, but they're important because they're messengers who are going to go take your message and move them out in the world. And somehow that shift in focus takes all those little nerves and kind of drops it away and leaves you in your heart and speaking from there, which is where our speakers speak so beautifully.
Yeah, and I can share from experience that whenever I find myself, and this always happens the first day of any program, I'll find myself going through, you know, and even you're saying the evolution of a dynamic speaker, but I think that even those of us who are seasoned speakers and maybe even, you know, live in the space of being a dynamic speaker at some time, go through all of these stages even
yes.
for each event or every time we're going to speak.
Yes.
And I have a little practice that I do to just really get myself present to the people who are going to be there to hear what I have to share. And I find that when I can really focus on them, I just stay in my heart. I don't worry about myself. I don't worry about what my content is. All of that comes.
And I have to say, you know, it's important. Yes, we have to have content. You have to know what to say, when to say it, how to craft it, and all that's important. But once that's done, you want to be able to put that aside and just recognize what's really important is speaking from your heart. And last night when I got on my knees before going to bed, I'm like, all right, God, please take away the arrogance. Please take away my, oh, look at me, how cool I am. And the good news is I got to go, I am cool. I have done a lot. But you know what? As much as I joked about this being the Susan Show, it's not the Susan Show. It's what can I offer people? What can I give them that will give them the best opportunity to make the biggest impact in the world? Because that's what I'm really about, is reaching millions of people one speaker at a time, changing the world one speaker at a time. It's not about the Susan Show.
So once we have, Susan, once we're really clear about, you know, we become a dynamic speaker so that we're really focused on the impact we're having in the people in the room and what will happen for them as a result of our work, tell us what are some of the biggest mistakes that have people say no to offers.
Oh, my goodness. We make so many as speakers.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier almost to find examples of the mistakes, my own included. And I don't care how long I've done it. There are sometimes, Jesse, when you go to the six-figure speaker, you're going to get the 10 sexiest mistakes speakers have. And, oh, my gosh, I have done so many of those. But I wanted to add some of my own experience and what I've done recently, and I really tied it back to that undervaluing ourselves. Just because that's, you cannot make an effective offer when you're not standing in your value. So the very first mistake is not realizing the value of making an offer. So I call it poetically kind of undervaluing the value of offering.
Mm-hmm.
It's really that if you think you're selling them something, and like you have to almost apologize for it. So it's really, I've had so many of my speakers just tell me, I don't know, I just get kind of weird when I go to make their offer. It's like they've been powerful all along, they're delivering their content, they're great, and then it's like they almost leave their body and an alien takes over, and
right.
They just be weird, and I can't even say it in any more concrete language, but I think we can all remember that experience. And I watched from a woman I was coaching back in the Landmark days actually go from this really authentic, caring, heart-centered woman, and then she said she was started to do what I called her best impression of someone else who did this offer. Like, it stopped being her. She, like, took all the training she'd had from somewhere else about how to deliver an offer, and next thing you know, it was like, where did she go?
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't an effective offer when that gets stuck. She'd been joking with them. She's a powerful black woman, and she'd been joking with people all the way along. And then I actually told her, I said, and then when it came to the offer, she actually turned white. And I don't mean like a shade of white. I mean like kind of stiff and awkward because she'd been watching white men do these offers.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, no, you got to be yourself. You got to be like, go to the back of the room. What are you waiting for? Get up out of your chair. Go. You know, like, you got to be yourself in the whole thing. So anyway, it's that kind of a thing. Or, oh, when I was with Les Brown in one of his events, I got to meet another one of the top five speakers according to Toastmasters. And he came and he did this amazing, powerful, "You gotta really want it. How bad do you want it?" And he was just up there so amazing. And when it came at the end of his motivational speech, he started to make his offer while opening a box of his products. And he was talking into the box when he said, "I have some books and CDs." I'm like, no.
It's painful to watch, isn't it?
Oh, so I went up to
him. You're like, "I was with you. I want what you have. Where did
you
go?"
You got to ask me how bad do I want it. If I wanted the bad, you need to take me home with you. You need to put me in your pocket and put me in your CDs. How bad do you want? You're like, you got to just keep going all the way through. And he's like, when I went up, you know, when you're the top speaker in the world, one of them, you don't want some average Joe sitting in the seats to come up and go, "I have some feedback for you." But I kind of politely said, "You know, this is my business, and I actually am an offer coach, and I would love to give you feedback." And he was so generous, and he said, "You know, Phelps, Michael Phelps is arguably one of the best swimmers in the world, and he has a coach who can't outswim Michael Phelps, but he can tell Michael Phelps where he could be and better. So, yes, I would love your feedback." Mm-hmm. So that's one of the mistakes, is really not valuing that the offer is important.
It is important. And even, you know, no matter what percentage of people that are in the room you're speaking in are, you know, go to the back of the room, even if it's just, you know, a small handful of people, they want to take the next steps with you. And if you're actually robbing them from that opportunity if you can't stand powerfully in your offer and if you can't value yourself and what.
Yep.
And it's like you're giving them the opportunity to invest in themselves and to say yes and to step up to this next thing they want in their life. And yes, getting better at offers will have you have a greater percentage of people say yes. But even in the beginning, like when you're first starting out, you just got to go for it, you know, and you've got to stand in the value of what it is for them. Like,
yeah,
I know with people come to the Client Attraction Summit, if we didn't make an offer for a six-figure speaker, for example, I feel like that would be robbing them.
Yeah, and that's when we get to my tips of what to do, we will get right into that.
Okay,
because,
great.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So let's go to the next mistake.
So the second mistake, this is, not surprisingly, the biggest mistake is, the second biggest mistake is thinking your people can't afford you. So you are lowering your expectations of the people in your room, and you're lowering the value of your offer. And you undervalue yourself before you even tell them the dollar amount. And as you know, Sharla, you guys, you and Jesse have done such great, powerful work on that phrase, "I can't afford it," and that almost everybody these days says that phrase. And yet, it really puts our people at a lower level. And they don't rise up to the occasion when Les Brown says, people fail more not because they don't reach their goals, but because they set their goals low and achieve them.
Uh-huh.
So when you start out offering it too low, and I actually have some great examples of having watched that happen, in a room where I got to see the first person came in and made an offer, and it was a very powerful sales trainer, and she worked really hard and it closed 8 people. She was offering something at 2 for $1,500, so $750 a piece, and she was, by gosh, going to sell 8 products because she brought her 8 products and she's going to go home 7 sold them. And she did, and she made her $6,000, and that was good. And then another woman came in doing sales again right after her, but she sold her product at $1,500. Now, she only made 2 sales, but she didn't have to work near as hard for her $3,000. And I think there were more people about to follow suit. But if you just, that $1,500, you only have to have 2 compared to her 4 that she ended up getting 8 working really, really hard. But on top of that, that exact same room where people are like, oh, well, maybe all the money got sucked out the first woman who came, and then, well, clearly the second woman who came, they just didn't have any more money in the room. There were only maybe 40 people, 20 people in the room when the offers were being made. But this other guy comes in, And he was offering exactly what these people wanted. They were speakers, and they were wanting to be trained to be speakers and really be launched. And his offer was a $15,000 program. And he sold two and I think maybe three before he left there. So he made somewhere between $30,000 and $45,000 from the exact same room of people who were struggling to pay, the others were struggling to be paid.
Yep.
So
yep.
The quality of your offer obviously makes a big difference. That you're offering what people want makes a big difference. But people would have said he should never offered $15,000 after an hour talk. But you know what? It was really profitable for him.
Yep. So that is proof that, you know, just be, it's like, I actually even had a heart selling conversation today, which I don't usually have. This is somebody who graduated from our programs years ago. She's ready to take things to the next level. And I talked with her about a VIP day. And she just went through this big story about how cash was tight right now because of this, that, and the other thing. And I just, it's like, I didn't let that even impact me because I have no idea what cash is tight means. No clue.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether it's your heart selling conversations or being on stage, I mean, people have told us that in the space that we're in, helping people get clients, well, if they don't have clients, then they won't be able to afford stuff. Well, is that true? I don't know. I haven't found that to be true. You know,
yeah.
People have found a way to be in Thrive Academy Platinum. And
I have to say my very first time I was offering, I was making offers for $497 because I really wanted people to want what I had.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started also bonusing in like three other seminars that were like the free two-weekend seminars of all these other things I'd attended. And I threw in so many bonuses in addition to not offering it for very much money to begin with that the one corporate guy in my room who had deep pockets and had gone to the back tables to register actually pulled out and decided not to complete his registration because it kept feeling watered down and like there couldn't have been the value there. So you can cost yourself your right people by trying to offer to everybody.
Right, that's right. So that's a really powerful mistake is thinking that people in your room can't afford it. So you can switch that. Now let's talk about mistake number three.
Well, this is a funny mistake. It's like people think, okay, I'm just going to tell you, mistake number three is not preparing your people to buy. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, when people have come to me with their what I call TED Talks, like they're very informative. I don't know if you know TED Talks. If you go on YouTube and Google TED Talks or whatever, they're amazingly inspirational speeches, kind of like the speakers that I was working with, the motivational speakers. Amazing motivation. But towards what? They don't lead you to buy. They, in fact, are so content rich. You know, everybody's worrying about, I need to have more content, and I need to make sure I give value. And I tell you, one of the things Les Brown told me was, he goes, but I realized, I thought that if I just gave enough value, people would pay me. Like you didn't actually have to ask them to or tell them to along the way. I'm like, no, people don't understand. And they just, when they've gotten so much value and no, like there's no gap between them and the next thing, they walk away full. And they walk away like they couldn't possibly buy something from you because there was no gap created. So when I talk about preparing your people to buy, it's two things. It's one, making sure you're what we call seeding along the way. You're talking about the programs that you're about to offer. And one of the things you would do is let them know there is something more coming and that what you're telling them is only small compared to that. So anyway, that's one of those examples of like that my lovely speaker friend who was so motivational who kind of just kind of plopped the end as the afterthought, like as he's digging in his box or you know, any of those things. So you got to be able to seed it and make things go, but I'll tell you more about that in our tips.
Great. So let's actually just move right into what are some of your hottest tips to share for making hot offers.
Okay, hottest tips. Number one, build the value of offering in your mindset. So the first tip is really about your own mindset. So that's part of that. These are some really fast, quick, easy ways to just shift it. And when I was working with Sage Lee on one of coached him on one of his offers, I gave him some of these mindsets, and he said it was the difference between like a $9,000 difference in his offer. I think he just took some of this. So I'm going to pass this out. Here we go. The first thing is, here's the tip. Your people really want you to be good at selling the solution to their problem. So we walk in there thinking they don't want what we're offering, or what are they going to think, I'm going to sell them something. And what I want you to know is they came hoping you would be good at selling them the solution to their problem. They don't want to walk home with their problem. They want you to solve it. That's why they came to your room. So that's number one. And number two, if you offer too small a package, like just a teaser package, it'll almost annoy them that they didn't get the whole thing. So you want to make sure you actually give them enough that's not just a little, you know, $97 only something, but you let them know if you really want to have this turn out well from you, this is really what you're going to need. There's actually a quote that I've heard where it says, you do someone as much a disservice by offering them to less than what they need as it is when you try and sell them more than what they need. So it's really getting that you're doing them the best service by offering them exactly the next thing to get them the results they're looking for. And that's that. Really want to shift your mindset about your offering, and that's what you were trying to work with us on, Charlotte, earlier, is when you get that it's so valuable, like why would you wouldn't want to, you would be doing them a disservice not to offer. And then tip number two is not only building the value in your head, like shifting your mindset, but I'm going to call this building the value of your offering in your heart, or shifting your heart set. And that's really when you get that focus we had talked about as a dynamic speaker is really speaking from the difference your work makes in the world, and that speaking from your core message that you guys do such a great job, Sharla, having us identify our core message in six-figure speaker. And I tell you, when I stand in my core message, I can say just about anything else after that. And I know when I had 90 seconds or whatever I got to say at Leverage Your Genius, what I said was my core message, which is everyone is born with a message to deliver. Your message can change lives, but only if it's delivered and only if it's delivered effectively. And when I know, when I stand there and I make my offer, it's very easy. So
it's
that's
just a totally different mindset.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And as I said, Sage, when he used those two kind of tips, that being in your people want you to be good at it, and that what you're doing is changing the world, that's when he said it was a $9,000 difference in his sales that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Ready for tip three?
Tip three.
Okay, tip three. Build the trust. And what I mean by that is you're going to find out what your people want and offer it. And this is our next handout. I call it I'm a Genius. And I love it because it's standing in our value. But how you become a genius, you know how you become a genius? You ask your people what they want and you give it to them. And they think, you're a master. You're a genius. And you're like, yes. Because you asked what they needed and you provided it for them. So when you're making your inspiring offer, you get to actually be working with them on what they really wanted. So I actually, my handout is the handout I hand out in the very beginning of my seminars, these questions on a different handout, for my people coming in to fill out. And so if you pull out your I'm a Genius handout, these are the questions I literally, as they sign in and get their name tag, I ask them to fill this out. And what they say, the questions are, one, I'm so sick and tired of, fill in the blank. And at the top, you might say, with regards to making money as a speaker, I would say, with regards to the problem you solve, fill in these answers. So, one, I'm so sick and tired of. Two, I wish I could finally. Three, I can't take it anymore. I need help with. Four, I'm frustrated with. Five, I'm really disappointed that. Six, I'm totally overwhelmed by. Seven, I'm struggling with. Eight, the problem is costing me. And in the middle of the seminar, we actually address what those issues are. We put them on the board. We put them on the flip chart and stick them up all over the room, and we get really clear what's their language. And when I've done that often enough, I now know the language of my people. They're present to their pain, and when I start to offer the solution, they're really ready for it. So the tip three is find out what your people want and offer it. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay, great. Sorry, I just all of a sudden was really quiet. So the last time I did that, we actually had offered, it was a 2-day event, so we actually had the benefit of the night to go home and recraft, because we made an offer, Jenny and I, when we were doing our Dynamic Speaker Success Boot Camp offer, or actually at our Dynamic Speaker Success event, we were offering a continuation package. And I'd asked people, they told us their pain was they needed to launch, and they wanted to get out speaking, and they weren't clear how to do it alone. And I said, great. And I asked them, how many of them are ready to launch? And I said, you all said you were ready to launch. Let's do it. And they looked at me like, no. Nobody registered for anything when I made that offer. I thought, wow, what did I misread? And Jenny and I went home, and we looked at it, and we thought, oh, no. They told us they wanted to launch. They did not say, I am ready to launch. And what we realized was we had to actually recraft the offer and offer them our hands and offer them how to go from wanting to launch to ready to launch. So we had to actually bridge the gap. So when I really looked at what they said, it wasn't even what I had heard. But when I recrafted it, or when Jenny and I recrafted it, and she actually made the offer for this launch day of how we could help them launch themselves, and could they want that, they all, by the end of it, people just were like, yes, because they got that that I was willing to kind of hold their hand through the thing, and that's what they needed, a buddy. They needed somebody that they could count on that would go, yes, you're ready, let's do it. And it was a very effective offer the second time around after we re-looked at what they actually had said.
Yeah, they will say exactly what they want.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And when you get it close, it's not quite. You have to go back and go, well, what did they say? Oh, yeah, that. So, okay, tip four, ready?
Yep.
Believe in your people and their resourcefulness. So this is that answer to they say they don't, you think they don't have the money, but you know what? When you believe in your people, they are resourceful. And you know what? All it really takes for someone to be resourceful is for you to tell them they are, and you to believe in them, and you to say, I know you're resourceful, and I understand that. And it's that whole, I have in my lifetime really undervalued my employees, undervalued so many people thinking they weren't competent as I was. And you know what? It's such a difference when you just shift that little lens around and you tell them how great they are, they be that great. So it's really once you've built up the desire for your solution, not to undersell it, but to really actually call them forth to being great and call them forth to investing in themselves and believing they can, and that makes all the difference in the world. We say at the end, you know, there's always a cost to working with me. You can either work with me or not, but there's always going to be a cost. But one of the things Jenny actually shares from Eric Laufholm, one of her mentors, is, you know, you cannot invest with me, and there'll be much of a cost, or there'll at least be a cost for not doing the investment as their cost as there is a cost for investing in the program, and you have to look and see which cost is greater. And mostly the people who are really wanting what you're offering get that the cost is greater to take no action and do more of what they've been doing than to invest with you.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. When you can hold that for people, it's so easy to stand on the value of what you have to offer.
Yeah. And so believing in your people also helps me get out of my own stuff when I'm worrying about am I valuable. It's like when I believe in them, it shifts that too. All right, tip five, our last and final tip. Prepare your people to say yes to your offer. It's amazing. This is the way you can really help them is you let themselves be talking themselves into wanting what you have to offer all the way along in your program. And that's part of what we call seeding. And I say it starts, your offer really starts before you even say hello. Want to know how I do that?
You do that.
That's when we start with two powerful questions. It's one of the things you learn in Six Figure Speakers. Start with two questions. But it's not just a random two questions. I actually love starting with asking people, how many of you want what I'm about to offer you at the end? Now, clearly you don't say what I'm about to offer you at the end. You take the title of your program and you say it in there. So when I was offering Dynamic Speaker, I would say, how many of you want to be a dynamic speaker? And then they would raise their hand. How many of you want to be a really well-paid dynamic speaker? Then they all answer. They all raise their hands. And at the end, I'm offering them the Dynamic Speaker Success Boot Camp. Mm-hmm. So of course they want that, and they've already heard themselves saying yes. And I want to say, back in the beginning, I told you of my favorite story of my very first $3,000 client when I was working with him. In the six-figure speaker, he came to one of my clinics, and we were working on his talk because he was already in the top 10 from the work we'd been doing, and he was going to be making his offer to the whole group. And I asked him he showed me what his offer was or what his 12-minute talk was, and his first two questions were something like, what do I, Donald Trump, and the Chinese emperor have in common? And I was like, he was so proud of himself for having such a creative comment, such a creative and thought-provocative question. And I'm like, you have just annoyed your audience. He goes, what? I go, half of them don't like Donald Trump, and nobody wants to be stumped. They don't want to be puzzled. And you're like, you're already now working against yourself just with that really clever question. And he was like, wow. And it turns out what he was offering was the art of Chinese date selection. And he was about to go talk to a group of speakers who all had events coming up. And wouldn't, of course, they want to know the right dates. So we shifted it. We started to call his program A Date with Destiny. And we crafted his two questions to be something more like, want to have successful events? How many of you would like to have your events on the most auspicious day possible? Or something like that. Everybody ran to the back of the room. By the time he was done, he delivered. He had done his mirror work. He had done everything Jesse had taught him. He had done his practicing it three times. He had done everything you get trained to do in Six Figure Speaker. And he used the powerful questions that we created and stood in his offer, and that's what caused 50 out of 80 people to run to the back of the room and pay him $200.
So powerful.
So the two questions are really my favorite thing to give people to really start their offer in the beginning and make sure you're seeding it and using your program names throughout.
Fantastic. So such great tips. And, you know, for those of you, I know I can see a few of you that have already been through Six Figure Speaker, and I know there are a bunch of you that aren't here yet. This is just going to add so much value to what you're already getting there. So thank you, Susan. This is awesome. And I didn't say it earlier, but for those of you who don't know, you know, I invite our members of our $10,000 a month club to come and give this content, and this is, they do this for free. This is just, you know, giving back to the community. And then on top of it, I ask them to give a generous gift. So Susan, you not only, you know, put this whole call together for us to, you know, provide a lot of value to our community, but you're also offering a really, you know, been so generous with your content. It's awesome. You're also offering a really cool gift to all of our members. So can you tell us about that?
I can. It's What I'm offering is a discovery session with me. And what I mean by that, it's really more of a strategy session. It's more of a, we're going to look and see where you are as, in the area of being a speaker, where you want to be, kind of what's in your way of that, and I can give you some really great like next steps to really launch your speaker career. And I would love to offer that to the people on this call who are really committed to having their speaking impact the world and make the difference with their community that they were born to make. So that's what I would love to, especially those people coming up on the six-figure speaker, because I know I can give you so much good information on how to be poised to be very effective in that, to have what you're getting from the six-figure speaker be like even more valuable for you. So that's what I'm offering today.
Very cool. And where do we go to find that?
You would go to, there's on the bottom of the, on your handouts, it says tinyurl.com/SusanGift. And I believe if you're online, you might be able to just click that link. But that's where you go. You go to tinyurl.com/SusanGift to receive your gift. And you will get a discovery session application right away that we have designed for you. So if you would fill that out and get that back to me, I will be getting back to people in the next 3 business days.
Awesome. All right. Awesome. So if you want to learn more from Susan and have an opportunity to have her dive deep with you on a discovery session, you can go to tinyurl.com/SusanGift, and you won't be sorry for taking her up on that valuable and generous offer. Thank you so much. You're going to be very busy.
I know. I'm really looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. And when you go there, if you're local and you want to come play, there's ways to play with us locally too. So you'll find that all on that site. So thank you so much for everything you've given me, Sharla. And Jesse has been amazing from the front of the room, and you in your support of the community and your love for the community. I know that's why this community grows. It's really that heart and soul. I have been with so many speakers over the years who what you see in the front of the room isn't what you see behind the scenes, and it's so refreshing. And it's really why I've dove deep in with this community, is I have always only ever seen how great you are in every aspect of your lives, and it makes a big difference.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And, we're just getting started here. So, and I think for those of you who are in the Marin area, really we want to invite you to go play with Susan tonight at the launch of the Contact Network in Marin.
Yes, my husband was just showing me the time. We need to get going. Yes, we're going to go.
Yes. And real briefly, because we have a few more minutes, I'd love to just take one or two questions. So if you have a question for Susan, you can one on your telephone keypad if you have a question for Susan. I believe you delivered that much content in that short a period of time. I'm impressed. And it's the gorgeous Morgana. Morgana, I'm putting you on the big mic.
Oh, Morgana!
I lied. I don't have a question. I just wanted to say that two things. You came up with the title for my 90 Days of Money, Honey, Love, which is golden, which alone was worth the price of admission of my VIP day with you, that I filled all the spots when I made the offer. And thank you, thank you, thank you. And by the way, love your opt-in page. Great headline.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Morgana.
So just love, no questions.
Awesome.
Move
thank
on.
Thank you. All right, let's move on to Joyce. Joyce Anastasia, you're on the big mic. Are you there?
Joyce, you got questions?
I'm sorry, I had my mute on. Just thinking.
Oh, great. Hey, Joyce.
Hi, how are you? I look forward to seeing you tonight.
Oh, I'm so excited about tonight, too.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you a very brief thing. You had used the expression of you making a difference in the person, your client's life, in terms of giving them the choice between is it worth it for you to do it, and what does it cost for you not to do this? And
yes.
I'm wondering if it were flipped around, or have you ever tried where is this worth it for you to work on your life or on your part of this, bringing it back to the client instead of it being addressed.
Oh, how beautiful. Yes, I hear that. So rather than am I worth it, are you worth it?
Yes.
So rather than am I the speaker worth investing in, but is
yes.
what you would get out of this worth your investment, as in investing in yourself? Yes, that's a much
yes.
more eloquent way of saying it, and I would imagine that in my best self when I am saying it, it comes out more like that. But that really, anytime it can be the student, purchaser, whatever you want to call it, your client's point of view, of if it's anytime it's them talking themselves into working with you, it's way better than look how cool I am and what I can do for you. And that's, I have to say, of all the stages in the five stages of our heart selling, that asking the other, what do you see you could get out of working with me? It's really that kind of a question of what do you see, how do you see this would impact your life? And that's a way more powerful
yes.
place to stand. So, yes, thank you.
Awesome. Great.
You're
question.
Welcome. I was just really curious. Okay, great.
Yeah,
thank
it does.
It, great question. Great question.
It works.
Bring that point up. Awesome. Okay, Tara May, you are on the big mic.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call and great content, Susan.
Thank you, Tara May.
So,
Tara? I'm sorry, because my nanny insists on being called Tara, even though her name is spelled the same way.
That's okay. So I don't know if I spaced out or what, but when you were talking about number five, preparing people to say yes, and you said you had two questions that you ask.
I did, didn't I?
Yeah, and I only heard one, and I don't know if...
Okay, so the two things in the preparing them to say yes, the first one is how you speak about your program. So you are telling them along the way that you have these programs to offer.
Huh.
And so, like, you're using the names of the program.
Oh, okay.
And the other is making sure there's a gap and they know it. So you not only that you don't give them so much content now without telling them, and by the way, in the name of this program that I'm about to be offering you later, we work on this thing that you're really going to need further down the road. So the two prongs of the same thing is not only using the name, but telling them what they're going to be getting that they're missing now, that the missing of which could cost them a lot.
Okay, great. Yep.
Because I've watched it done both ways, or I've seen where people have created the value, but when they don't name the program and the offer comes up, people don't know that's what they've been seeding. They don't know. They're not as prepared to buy if the name hasn't been used. So that's why you have to have both those sides.
I see. Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you for making sure I got that clear.
Great question. Okay, let's see. I know there's at least one more question. Sue Hines, you're on the big mic.
Hi there. Thank you so much for this, Charlotte and Susan. Susan, I am going to be doing my first speak-to-sell event on Monday. And
yes.
I am aware that I have a very big perception about price. So
yes.
you did deal with that to some extent, but in my mind there's still a gap between what I would like to charge, what I think I'm worth, and what I think they can pay.
Yeah.
Have you got any advice for dealing with that, please?
Well, there's two parts on, there's probably more, many ways to answer that, and Charlotte, I might even defer to you at some point. So if you have something else to say, please feel free. But the first thing is, you got to start with what's going to resonate with you. Like if you're delivering your work and feeling underpaid, it's not going to work for you or for them.
Right.
And you're going to end up quitting and not doing this job anymore because it'll feel like a job. if you would do it all for free and you love it no matter what, that's valuable, but you still won't do it for very long. So you got to find a place that you will feel good about having been rewarded. It's kind of like, what's the least, Jesse once asked me something like this about a kind of an unrelated topic, but what's the least amount of money you'd be willing to earn and still feel really good about what you're doing? So that's kind of a weird way to bring it to it, but I would err on the side of asking for more than, unless it's just like, hey, I got to get some clients, I got to get some people in, I got to see whether I can do this or not, then just offer it for something you think they can afford, because that's where I started, but it was harder to ratchet up once I had already started offering it lower.
Right, that's the part that worries me, is if I start too low, I'm never going to be able, because this area and this group, they all know each other, so if you start pushing the prices up later, it kind of feels weird.
Yeah, so that's why, Charlotte, do you have any input on that part?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you need to feel confident in what you're charging. And if you don't feel confident, people are going to, they're going to sense that, right? I wouldn't worry too much about starting at a lower price point to see how it's received and then raising it later, because that's not too big of a problem. I mean, we've incrementally raised our prices over the years, and it hasn't been a problem. But I think you're right, Susan, about what you said earlier about not, undervaluing yourself. And you also need to be concerned about what about the people who really want to play bigger? And are you going to get, make less money and fewer sales, because
right.
only people who are running to the back of the room or that are wanting to work with you are those that really don't have much. They really, shouldn't be investing at this level.
Right.
It's not your place to say, right? You never know. So I would look at it and see, like, what would you feel, I don't want you to feel resentful. So that's the thing, like, what would you feel good about receiving for the work that you're doing?
Right. Okay. Cool. And thank you so much.
One other thought on that is just that when you offer too little, you might be working with the wrong clientele. Like the difference you really get to make might be the higher end people. And when I was working with Les Brown, it's when he went, oh, I thought I was supposed to serve everyone. So he kept his prices really low. And I said, no, you're the great Les Brown. You want to work with the people who are really ready to go do something. And when you work with everyone, those other people get lost, and they can't make this impact that you're really out to make. And you want to look and see who are your people.
Right.
Awesome.
Right. And I think there's a convenience sampling going on here. I'm taking what's convenient rather than ideal.
Yes.
And
what do you
so
want?
In some ways, that's okay for practice, but we want to make some money too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
So,
Thank
as I said, I started out at the $497 and was just happy people paid me, and then very quickly went to $997, and then it kept doubling.
Right. So. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sue. Great question. And I know there are a few of you that also have questions. I'm sorry, but we are running out of time. So, Susan actually is going to be at Six Figure Speaker coming up, so you can ask her those questions that you have for her there.
Yeah.
And I just really want to thank you so much. I actually do want a quick before we pop off, just remind you that we've got our next call is coming up next week, so make sure to join us for that call. Hopefully we'll see some of you at the Client Attraction Summit if you're assisting to support some friends that you're bringing. We've got the Client Attraction Network launch in Marin tonight, and also there's a Client Attraction Network event in Los Angeles, so if you're in either of those
areas,
you can connect
Amy
with the community.
Amy and I have been in good communication.
Yes.
She's very excited about tonight as well.
Yes, so you can connect with your community. This is really all about connection. It's all networking exercises and connection exercises, so if you're in those areas, please come. And I want to give Susan a little gratitude, so I'm going to really quickly open up the line, and I want you to think of one word of what you're walking away with from this call. Everybody ready? 1, 2, 3.
What a catchy cacophony of wonderful words.
Yes, I don't think you could really understand that many of them, but you know that they got value. So
I loved it.
So
I loved everybody. Just let it all wash over me.
Yes, awesome. All right, thank you so much for providing such value, Susan, and really appreciate everything you offered today. And a reminder that if you want to connect with Susan, you can go to tinyurl.com. It's /Susan Kirby. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yep. Or Susan
no,
Gift.
No, /SusanGift.
Susan Gift. All right.
Susan Gift.
And we will see some of you very, very soon. Make it a great night, everyone. Bye-bye.
All right. See some of you tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. Bye.